ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on cover teams for expanding its sphere of influence. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its stakes are buried, not headlined. Its descendants are silent, not praised.
Millions of people just living out their lives, oblivious.
Choice is an illusion created between those with power and those without.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
Thank you, John Larson. I receive your kind words on behalf of all of our courageous members of the House of Representatives who want the best for the American people. And what we can do that is best for them in the next 24 hours is to pass affordable, accessible health care for all Americans. The best for all Americans is to have 32 million more people to have health insurance in our country.
Oh,
the best for...
Piece of stinking filth.
Sitting in shop. This is AJ of the InfoWars. Listen to the Shaliak. This is Alex Jones of InfoWars. Listen to Shaliak on the Cold Reality News and Report.
This is the coolest thing I have ever seen.
Well, hello there.
Well, hello there, UCY.TV listeners. This is Cold Reality Radio for February 19th, 2017, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. I'm actually Chuck Ocelli, and I am sitting in at the moment for Shally, who will be joining me ever so shortly from this time in which I am speaking. So it's Sunday morning. Man, it's been an interesting week, that's for sure. You know, he asked me to do this last night, and this morning we had a little bit of a back and forth, and I know that the plan is to have Clint Richardson join us as well. I hope all of you who are hearing the sound of my voice are in a state where you're not captured by the fear porn, where you're not absolutely worried, upset, aggravated, agitated. Let's relax, take a break, smoke them if you got them. It's not quite 420 anywhere just yet, according to that wind-up toy or the digital representation thereof we call a clock, but it'll get there soon enough. So let's see if we can add a Shally into the discussion to start with. He's coming in, I think, right about now.
Hey now.
Hey now.
Hey now.
What's up, man?
I'm good. I'm good. Good morning. Chuck, you're the man. We're going to have Clint today. Do we have him on the line?
I have not brought Clint in yet because I wasn't sure if he was ready. We could try, though.
He's ready to go. If he's not, then he won't pick up, but then he'll be able to join the call because you initiated it.
Exactly. Well, all I did so far really is give people the date and wish them well no matter what happens on the show today or anything else and told them it's Sunday, take a breath. I think that's about as far as I got.
No, that's fine. You know, it's just going to be laid-back show today. We're just going to talk about things that are going on in the world with Trump and all the things that all the insanity that's happening out there. How he really can't get through a press conference without, you know, talking about his how many electoral votes he's gotten. Just really just ridiculous. He just needs to really just concentrate and just be a robot. If you're going to be a robot for good, then just do it. Just stop, you know, just stop bringing up things from the past. The media, they lie. And if they say, hey, it's not truthful, let's go back. I mean, don't attack the talking heads. Attack the people who own the news that allow that information to be propagated. And then we'll start finding out who really runs the media.
Well, you know, something to take into the equation here, Charlie, is this. People want to portray it as Trump versus the media. You know, he's speaking out and he's saying things that are different and all this other. I'm not one of those people, by the way. But a lot of people say this. They buy the narrative that he's in opposition to the media. He's at war with the media. Oh, my goodness. You know, what do we have unfolding in front of us? Odd thing to note here. I watch some of the streams, and I notice that for the first time in history, I see cabinet appointees having commercial spots run on their behalf. I see SCOTUS appointees having spots run on their behalf on the alphabet soup of networks like CNN and stuff like that. So now call me a conspiracy theorist if you like, but if you're taking ad revenue to push an agenda, and then during the alleged programming time, you're doing nothing but pushing back against that agenda, doesn't it all seem kind of fictitious? I mean, you're taking their money. Somebody's paying for those spots, and I haven't been able to fully track down who's paying for them. Okay, but but we know that, you know, Betsy DeVos being a good person before she was accepted, right, before she made it through confirmation. The SCOTUS nominee, whose name escapes me at the moment, you know, make sure you support this guy, even though the people that are actually watching that network, for the most part, have nothing to do with the process at this point. Do you find that odd? I mean, they're also taking money from Listen, Feel Bad for the Refugees organizations as well. So what are they doing in actuality besides building their ratings and also taking in this ad revenue to push an agenda? I mean, to me, it's very much like the WWE selling you, here's the bad guy, fear him, he is the darkness. Meanwhile, everybody's just an actor on the stage, and at the end of it all, they divvy up the money, and the corporation gets the bulk of it. I mean, what am I? I'm out of my mind, right, Ant? Right?
Well, no, I mean, when Clint comes on, I think he could explain that, you know, wonderfully. It is everything is a corporation, and everything, it's all about commerce.
Well,
so money and, is yes. King.
Clint has joined us, by the way, and I thought that was a perfect setup for Clint, actually. So, how you doing today, Mr. Richardson?
Good to finally talk to you, actually.
Well, you know, it's strange because I've had listeners request that you and I get together on my show. Here we are on Cold Reality Radio. And, hey, let's get to it.
whatever works, right?
You got it.
Right.
So, you know, I think one of the problems is still the fact that people don't really quite grasp this notion that we're talking about a corporation, right? That we're talking about... That we're basically talking about everything, the office of president, the office of senator, the office of queen and king, the office of pope. These are all corporation souls, is what they're actually called. Individual corporations, single or foreign corporations. Wherever the queen goes, for instance, the queen goes to Canada, she is the queen in right of Canada. If she goes to a province of Canada, then she's the corporation, different corporation soul. When she gets into that border and operates under that corporation, as the queen in right of say Ontario or of you know, whatever, if it's a city, then she's the queen in right of that city. So she has all these different corporations that she appears in, and you can verify that even on Wikipedia. It tells you about that. It tells you how the Mormon Church is also a corporation soul, which is why it gets to hide all of its finances from the public purview and all this stuff. And then we have this things like the United States. So you know you go to the Crown website, which is the Crown Estate website, the crownstate.co.uk. And what I love about government websites now is that we are so prevalent out here in our speculation, in the truth movement, the, you know, whatever, the Patriot movement, all these different movements, and we have so much wrong that, and we lie to ourselves, basically. We think we know something, but we don't quite know it. And so the Federal Reserve, for instance, and here the Crown Estate website actually has to have a question and answer part that explains exactly what's happening. And so it asks the question to itself because so many people ask. It says, is the Crown Estate the Queen's property company? So it's asking, you know, we always say, well, the Queen or the King owns this much land, this much land. But we never ask, what is the King? And it turns out the King is a corporation, right? So myth busting, it says. While the Crown Estate belongs to the reigning monarch in right of the crown, well, that's like saying that I own that, you know, money through that bank, but it's not actually my money, and the monarch remains the legal owner, well, we know that a legal owner is not does not have the right of disposition or cannot do anything with that. She can only operate it as a user or an employee. It is the Crown Estate itself which has the powers of management and control. What is the Crown Estate? It's called the Crown Corporation. So when we're talking about a king or a queen or a president or a senator or any of these people, we're talking about a flattering title, an office, a fiction of law that is doing these things. Now, of course, in order to make a fiction, a cartoon, for instance, come to life, you have to have a man somehow breathing life into that fiction, right? Male or female. You have to have something breathing life into that fiction. And so basically what's happened is we've all been put under these corporations, and we believe that men in flesh and blood actually operate these things, but in fact, at no point is ever a man a president, is ever a man. A flesh and blood man is never a king or a queen. They hold a title, again, through the right, in right of the crown, because they're currently given that crown to wear, or they're given that presidency to wear, as, you know, they say the emperor has clothes or doesn't have clothes. So we're basically stuck in this concept that we are worshiping everything that is adversarial to reality. We say that's satanic if you want to. We're literally worshiping the fiction. And because we're worshiping the fiction, we're worshiping the fictional law. And because we're operating in their person, which is their public status that they allow us to have, we are also bound by their law instead of those laws of nature. If you're acting as a fiction, then you've lost the right to claim the laws of nature. And that's where we're at. This is where we're at. So we're watching a big, right now, just a big media circus that once you understand the concepts of fourth and fifth generation warfare, once you understand the concepts, which is psychological warfare, the concepts of controlled opposition, where if I'm going to have an opposition, it might as well be me, which is what what England is compared to the Pope, right? They call the Queen of England is the King of England is the defender of the faith, which actually means defendant, which is basically the Catholic Church, but for Protestants. So it's still part of the Pope. It's still part of the uniform Christianity, which is, universal Christianity, but it's the controlled opposition of the Vatican. And we were under that, and we separated from that. We're still under the Pope.
Right.
So, I mean, it's the whole thing is a media circus, and as long as you can keep this duality of sides, the duality of parties and ideals and everything going, when in fact there really is no ideal behind this whatsoever. The concept of sovereignty is a lie. The concept of all of this stuff is just absolutely a lie. The only sovereignty lies in what is called a god. And that god is either the god of nature, the god of existence, or it's the god of fiction. And we choose between those two gods, basically. And that defines what our law is going to be. And that's what we're at. There is no man can be sovereign, because to be sovereign means that you must rule over other men. That only happens even through the Pope. The Pope office is a corporation of the crown of the Vatican. The crown comes from the Vatican. So even the Pope, as a mortal man, inhabits what's called an immortal office that gets passed between mortal men. But the man is never actually the the true, you know, it's all fiction. It's so hard to put into words, but once you get it,
right,
you realize we're just worshiping a big fiction.
Well, and that's the bizarre thing to me, is that I want to get into two points with you, because I'm fascinated and absolutely stunned that you're willing to put this out so bluntly, so simply, because most people get very lost in the minutiae of these things. For instance, the concept that in 2012, right, there was some paperwork signed where the Queen or the Crown, you know, the English monarch, whatever it is you want to state, that corporation turned around and gave its sway over the people to what? The European Union, and thusly the United Nations, in a way. And this seemed really bizarre to me when somebody presented it to me, because I had always been under this illusion that, look, the Queen, the Crown, I should say, is actually what has sway over what we call Canada, therefore the Canadian people. The reality that they never really lost sway over what we, you know, the artist formerly known as America. The idea that all of this seems to be rooted with the Vatican is a really bizarre twist on things, considering the way people approach this. And we do often attack individuals thinking that we're going to get somewhere. But all of this is based on this false identity concept.
Well,
think
about it this way. We say, well, Obama had presidential directives, presidential or executive orders and all these different things. Bush was one of the worst of them. He created the executive order on terrorism, and, you know, basically anybody can be called a terrorist and da-da-da-da-da, and then each president keeps reaffirming that executive order every year. So now it went through Bush, now it went through Obama, and now it's going through Trump. That's the president doing that. It's not a man doing it. It's the president. The president is a fictional office, an immortal fiction, a corporation. Otherwise, all those orders would die with the king, or die with the president, or die with the prime minister, or whatever. These are all fiction. So we say, well, you know, damn it, that darn Bush did this. Oh, thank God Obama came along, and now we're stuck with Trump. Or in the reverse order, oh, we loved Bush, we hated the Democrat, we love the Republican, right? But the fact is, the problem is that you believe that there is a president, and that that president is a man. But everything these people do is as an office of president. There is no Bush executive order. There is no Obama or Trump executive order. And there is no original Lincoln it's all the president of the United States. And so why does the Wizard of Oz have so much power? Is it because there's a little old man behind the curtain with all these controls and trickery and media and projections and smoke and mirrors? Yes. Yes, that's exactly why. Because we believe that the Wizard of Oz exists and actually is a flesh and blood being that may actually harm us. But it turns out it's a frail old man that just about anyone out there could beat up.
Well, that plus, here's the other part of the equation, Clint, to me. We're also trained to believe that we have sub-identities, right? You're part of this group. You're part of that group.
Sure.
You know, whether it be race, religion, political persuasion, sexual orientation. Now you are subdivided into something else. This is, in fact, your identity, is what we're taught. When realistically, I think people are completely disconnected from their actual identities. They have been trained to invest in these corporate advertising schemes, okay, to become parts of these groups. And this is what keeps us really arguing with one another while the actual business is conducted by these offices and not by the men that we think, or women that we think, we're opposing. Is that right?
Well, sure, because And there's been a lot of commentary on this particular subject throughout history, as you say, the Roman calendar. The concept that once a take into consideration Plato's five regimes in his Republic. You know, you always start at the top with the perfect the aristocracy, where it's basically the priest class taking no profits from the public treasury, taking care of the people, making sure they're, you know, that's the idealistic aristocracy, where there is a higher class and a lower class, but there's very little difference between, and the lower class works to keep the higher class because the higher class works solely to keep the lower class, high in its esteem. But that goes away once, that usually comes from some tyranny or some, empire falling, because you go into tyranny. That's the last step of Plato's regime, right? So you go into that perfect or idealistic form that we all talk about of aristocracy, but inevitably after a generation or two where the child, and this is the problem with genealogical bloodline, passing the queen or the kingship onto a bloodline, or the presidency for that matter, because all presidents are cousins of George Washington, which and all the kings of England. 33 of them come from the line of Charlemagne, right? So you're talking about passing on an office through blood inheritance only. You have nothing that you've done has earned the office. We can obviously say that Trump has done nothing to earn this office. He has no political anything. And Obama did very little to actually earn the office. He was a junior senator, for God's sake, right? Which was placed there. I don't even quite understand how that happened. So you're talking about a right that is given not because you've earned, but because you have the right blood. You're a quote-unquote white person. And yes, Obama was a white person, according to law. Not according to nature, but according to law. So, because to be white means you carry the blood of the kings, right? So we're talking about immediately you're going to go from that whatever comes out of tyranny is a spiritual awakening, and you have that for a generation or two. But after a while, those next generations, they've never experienced tyranny. They've been spoiled brats their whole life. And they start to realize that they can take from the public treasury. They can start earning capital and start investing and start doing things, start taking from the public treasury. Then it goes into democracy and eventually democracy. And at the level of democracy, which of course is what we're in now, we're at the lowest possible degraded state of a nation we can possibly be right now. Why is that? Because we have figured out on the public level now that we can steal basically money from the treasury, the public treasury, by declaring ourselves a special interest group, or that we need special rights when we're calling them equal rights. But let's face it, I don't think I need, most people don't need gay rights. Right? So you're looking for a special interest, a special set of rights, and a special set of funding that will come from the public treasury until everybody's grabbing at the public treasury, when before it was being taken care of by this priest class at no profit whatsoever. Money was non-profit, if you can imagine that. Now you're in democracy, right? Gold, in other words, never changed value. Mm. It stayed very similar, as did prices. Then you get into this democracy thing where you have to start creating money because everybody wants it. And that's the functionality of the society, is pure commerce in mammon. And mammon is a word that means valuation. So I value everything in money, therefore my God is mammon. Right? I've lost touch with the priceless beauty of nature, and I've fallen into this trap that I see only everything in the value of money, and I want to conquer it by purchasing. And conquer and purchase are the same word in law. So if I purchase them, is why the Indians lost out, because they were purchased. They were foolish. They didn't know what they were doing. They sold their lands for beads, and Esau in the Bible sold his blood right for a bowl of porridge or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. So we're talking about we're talking about a bunch of people, a bunch of spoiled brats who did nothing to earn this right to rule, this honor to rule. They're not of this higher order. They're not of this mindset of a spiritual awakening. They're at the very most degraded point you can be as a politician, basically. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about our senators, our congressmen. There's no one in their right mind would want these people to lead them. And yet we allow it because of this thing called the vote. Right? We did a whole thing on, and I did a documentary actually on the voting process in the Electoral College that shows without any doubt that you're not an elector. You're a voter. A voter is basically the same thing as a slave. You do not get to elect the president. This is why Trump can or Bush can win through the Electoral College without the popular vote, because the popular vote means absolutely nothing. Nothing.
Well, you know what, Clint, also, and I want to get Charlie in on this part of the discussion, the law, and I hold up air quotes when I say the law, is rife with contradiction. If one examines it just the right way, you could argue that voting in a national election is literally an act of sedition against the state in which you live, right? So you're not even legally allowed to participate in such activities, depending on which part of the law you look at. And it's very interesting to me that when one selectively calls together these different, statements in legalese, they are all subject to interpretation and what it is you choose to ignore and embrace. Shally, are you hearing
yes,
all
I
this?
Am. Yes, I am. I'm a little bit... Give me just like about a minute, and I'll get back on the line with you guys.
No problem. But I mean, Clint, you got to admit that one who tries to examine this objectively could get rather confused rather quickly. And not just because of the lack of comprehension of one's own true identity. I mean, that is definitely one issue in and of itself. But also, if you attempt to be a law-abiding individual of any kind, I find it virtually impossible because there are so many contradictions, and you're unaware of the larger canon of what's been written, all right? And most people are also ill-equipped to even begin to decipher legalese, which is not English in any way, shape, or form. If you want proof of that, I mean, the fact that your name is in all capital letters means that your name is not a word in English. So right there, based on your identity that they allege is connected to you, the whole straw man concept, right there you're not speaking in English when you're engaging in this discussion to begin with. Okay? So there's a lot to be said about it, and there's a lot of contradiction. I really don't have a panacea for figuring out how to sift through this and make it coherent. What do you suggest?
I've spent years now compiling a book on this very subject, so I say read the book. It's free online, and I'm about to print it. But I took... What's amazing about my own, we all have our personal journeys and we all arrive at different places because of what we learn and in the order we learn it. I think I just happened to learn things, I think, in the right order. Because first thing I learned, everything's a corporation. Okay? That was the first thing. So all of a sudden I know everything is fake. Everything is fiction. Then I start looking into all the other stuff. I get to legalese. I start studying legalese. I find out that the English language itself is actually called Dog Latin, which if you look in Black's Law Dictionary, I think fourth edition, Dog Latin is specifically defined as the Roman Latin language on the English grammatical set. So in other words, they taught us a language of illiteracy. so that whereas before the Catholic Church, for instance, would always read the Bible in Latin because it's a dead language, nobody knows, it's not really a dead language, it's the basis of legalese. But if you teach a people a language that cannot be, that is specifically designed to make them illiterate, and then you present them with awards and Nobel Prizes and all these things that make them think they're way smarter than anybody else out there because they know dog Latin or English and they're masters of it, masters of a language that literally makes you illiterate, right? Then you've created a whole system of slavery where people actually thrive and are proud of themselves for getting a PhD in language arts or a PhD in law, right? When in fact the whole thing, again, is designed to take every word, make you speak in a guttural, just vulgar language we call English, which is a copy of a copies of all the other languages, basically. There's nothing, very little original about it. And then you have this legal system that you put everybody in where almost every legal word is completely opposite in meaning because it carries back to the original or the Latin meaning. And all of a sudden, you're caught speaking a language that is opposite to the legal language. Now, when you're operating in a legal person, a citizenship of the United States, a nationality and ethnicity of the United States, you're expected to know English. That's the national language. What they don't tell you is that you're operating as a legal entity, so you need to know the opposite of English, which is legalese. And if you just consider very, very, very prominent authors of the law who've compiled dictionaries like Duhaine and others have specifically told us that the legal language is anti-Christ or anti-God or anti-nature. It is anti-reality. It is always opposed to reality. It's always fiction. So no matter what legal word you are saying, you are talking about a fiction. Even if that fiction is a representation of something real, again, representation of what is real, it is still a fiction. If I say I'm Clint Richardson, I'm saying that I'm operating in a commercial vessel of the United States. That is not me. That is a person of the United States. It is property of the United States. And if I'm renting out a property of the United States, paying taxes on it, and I'm surety and bonded to it, well then, guess what? I have to follow that law. If I rent a car from a car agency, I have to follow the law of the car agency along with the law of the United States, because that's what that vessel is bound under. That's where we're at. We're operating in a legal person. We must therefore know the legal language and the legal law. And if the legal law literally means anti-scripture, anti-God, anti-this, anti-the, anti-natural law, anti-real, then we have to start facing the fact that everything we've ever learned when it comes to the legal concepts of things is a lie. We live in a system that is built completely on what I call the big legal matrix code. It's a world built purely out of fiction. And if you understand it, so naturally, my course then led me to the Bible, to compare the Bible law, the scriptural law, to the which we call the natural law, I found out. And I also found out that the Bible is the first and foremost foundational part of the common law. The problem is it's voluntary and it's unenforceable. Right? Mm-hmm. So you've got the law, which is the highest law, the law of God or the law of nature, and then you've got the legal system, which is, as you get more into it, more contracted into it, you contract the diseases of the legal system, then the farther away you get from nature or God, and the farther away you get from that unalienable concept of natural rights. So you take contractual legal rights and you abandon, you know, for all intents and purposes, you abandon your maker, you abandon God and its law, and you take a false law. So, in other words, almost everything in the Bible is opposed in every way or satanic to. It just means what is in opposition to or what is adversarial to. It's all the word satanic means, not some mystical word, right? That means
I refuse to use the word Satan. You merely call it the adversary or the adversarial process, which is by definition correct, I think. And I find it interesting that people miss this part of the equation. The legal society operates exactly as you've described, right? And it is a sub. It's not our society, yours and mine personally. It is a separate society, just like the medical society is a separate entity as well. Except instead of using the dog Latin and Latin in order to use that part of the equation to control, they use what Greek terminology, which is exactly the same kind of thing. And I think the deception is there for almost exactly the same purpose, which is to disconnect anyone's thinking from the natural order of things. That's how I view it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, go ahead.
Well, that's why, you come to start studying these words and you find out things that you could never have imagined. One of those, under the natural law, freedom means that you have a duty to follow the natural law, and otherwise you're free to do whatever you want. In legal ease, the word freedom means franchise, so it's a corporate franchise. When it says they freed the slaves, no, they didn't free the slaves. They enfranchised the slaves into corporate personhood. So in other words, the state took over all slavery, they made it voluntary. You know, the 13th Amendment doesn't say that involuntary, or it says involuntary slavery is illegal, but it doesn't say anything about voluntary slavery or voluntary servitude. So they took all the slaves and they put them into the 14th Amendment citizenship and said, hey, you're our slaves now. Here's an illegal id entity, and you can either use it to protect yourself, therefore you have subjection under our law and our government, or you can ignore it, whatever. And of course everybody's like, well, yeah, because if I don't take it, then I'm going to continue to be hung by a tree. Now I have some rights, now I can work, now I can do all these things because I'm in the franchise. In other words, I'm free, right? But you just became instead of an involuntary slave, you became a voluntary slave. And that is a true use of the words, and a correct use of the words. I'm not just saying that, right? So, you start understanding these words. You understand that the word license, for instance, if you go look up the word license, you look up its antonym, or its synonym, excuse me, you find that it means anarchy, lawlessness. Well, what? Wait a minute. So I have a license to do something. That means... Oh, that's right. Yeah, because that means I'm able to break the law. Why do I need a license to do anything? Well, if I want to break the law, I need a license.
Fascinating that a marriage license is one of these things that's...
well, why? Yes, part of the but it makes sense. It makes sense if you think about it. See, this is where the reasoning comes in. Because, again, what are we talking about? We're talking about fictional. When we're talking about two persons getting married, we're talking about two properties of the state joining as one corporation. Two corporations becoming one corporation. That's how it's defined in the courts. And so can I just do that, or would I need a license from the owner of this corporation that I'm using in trust, in agency? Well, of course, I'm going to need a license to marry because I'm taking the state's identity that I'm using. I'm merely a user, and I'm saying I want to get married to this corporation, this person, and we want to merge our estate into one corporation, right? Now, you know this is true because when you go get a divorce, the corporation is not annulled. If you annul it, that means you've separated the two persons. But the problem is, in a divorce settlement, the reason these divorces are so bad is because the corporation is never split up. And so the man is always the head of the household, because that's the way the law works. The male figure is always the head of household. He's always responsible for any issue, which means birth, of the corporation. So, all the little children and all the things you have to pay for, because little do you know, you got a divorce, but the corporation is still merged because you never did the proper thing, which was to annul and get rid of the contract that created the corporation. See, this is how screwed up our system is. And this is why everybody that is married in the public realm, everyone who got married by legal license, can only have illegitimate children, because when you're a United States person, your blood is not recognized. You're actually in attainder. So this is why you can't hold land as a public person or a public citizenship, because you're not part of any state. You're purely a national citizen, and the nation, essentially, for all intents and purposes, doesn't exist except as a fictional district or jurisdiction. And again, what does the word district come from? It comes from Caesar or seizure. It means district, distraint, and distress. If you're part of the District of Columbia, if you're a citizenship of the United States, you're under distress, you're under distraint, and you're under seizure. You can't be a landholder.
Right.
And you certainly can't have legitimate children. Because
speaking to the children, they are described in a legal sense as products.
Yeah, issues.
I've seen it literally described as products of the marriage. I've been through a divorce. So,
right.
You know, that's what it was. That was what was at issue in the court, was the products of the marriage. So, well,
what's so sad is you realize that you were never married. Only your legal entity. It was a little corporation, but you and your ex-wife were never actually married. It's an illegitimate marriage. Under God, of course, you have to always go back to the nature. There are no persons. There are no fictions. There are no artifices. There are no corporations. You're not supposed to respect any of that under the natural law, the foundation of every law. But you do, and that's the problem. And that's why under God, which would be the blood aspect of it, and the law recognizes blood when it comes to land, and land is really the only wealth. So, you know, you can't own any land while your blood is attainted, and that's what legal personhood is. So under nature, under God, you were never married. You did something very, very wrong, which is why you needed a license to do it. You don't need a license from God to have a mutual marriage to somebody. There's no legal document that you need to prove. Most people used to do it in their family Bible. That's why the family Bible is so important. You know, it's your true birth record, your natural birth record, if you will. So again, when you realize that everything we do is in fiction and under a fictional law, that's why you have none of these perceptual, these idealistic rights that we always talk about under the natural law or under God. They don't exist in the legal realm. In the Matrix, there is nothing of nature. It's all words and fiction. Period. End of story.
Well, and in general, I would say that it is the act of death worship, really, because everything is a dead entity that is utilized, you know, through all these different systems, one way or another. So it is the worship of the dead entity as a constant. It does never really actually address the living creature that is a man, that is a woman. It only addresses these, well, you know, corporation and corpse. That sounds pretty similar to me, for a good reason, right?
Well, sure. And if you take everything in the legal realm as opposite to nature, opposite to reality, then you realize that a birth certificate is, in fact, a death certificate. Okay, it ends with a death certificate, actually, in reality, but or in the fiction, but the only thing that can be birthed within the fictional state is a spiritually dead person, something that doesn't exist in nature. It's a corporation, like we said. So the person, that status, doesn't exist anywhere except within that jurisdiction, right? So literally, the birth process takes the vital statistics of a living child, a real man, and takes it and creates out of those vital statistics a child, which is a legal term that is basically the opposite of life, right? Because it's legal, it has to be adversarial to reality or life or nature. And so everything is opposite day. Everything is completely opposed to reality. And until that hits home, and until people stop going, well, gee, that's great. You know, if it's all fiction, then I can do anything I want. I can commit crimes against nature as a corporation. I can destroy nature as long as I have a license from government. Right? That is a massive crime against nature. But because you're in anarchy to God, you're getting a legal license to disobey the natural law, hey, everything's okay, right? Well, no, because eventually nature will catch up. Nature will fling us off like a bunch of annoying fleas because we're destroying our own environment, the air we breathe and the water we drink. We're destroying that. And so that's what you would then call the wrath of God, because it's not that God is some entity that's doing something. It's that we've completely screwed ourselves, and we're going to suffer the consequences of not worshiping the law of God or the law of nature. It's that simple. There's no personification or anthropomorphization of some God that's sitting up there going, I'm going to do this and this and this. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, hey, if you shit in your own water supply, you're going to suffer the consequences.
Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. The devil is real. I saw him. He was on a can of tuna. Sorry, guys. I apologize, dude. I'm getting fiscally raped here with this. I got a phone call, and somebody's just picking me apart, picking my fictional person apart for my own survival. It's like I wish I didn't have to. But give me a couple more minutes and I'll be back on with you guys. The conversation, I'm listening to the conversation, and I'm also trying to do two things at once. I apologize. I'll be back on with you guys in a moment, okay?
All right.
That's the reason why I'm here today.
I needed help today, and I promise I'll be back online with you in a second.
No problem at all. You know, now one would say we've laid this out and look, there's a whole lot more to it. Of course, we could explain the ins and outs of it even more. But one would say, well, okay, now I accept everything that you've just said, Clint. What is it that I can do to change this? If I want to embrace my natural existence as opposed to participating in this fiction, which is the antithesis of natural law, which is really the state of anarchy against God, as you put it, or anarchy in the face of God's law. How about that? What is it that one can do? I mean, how do you even begin to address this? Because look, from the time of your birth, right, you were voluntarily handed over by your mother reporting on your birth, right, which was a live birth or a birth. I mean, if it's stillborn, it's still a birth. You are birthed from your mother's canal, right, just like a ship is, to land. The proof of that is your footprints. So now you've touched land, and therefore the fiction is created on that day. You are then given to the idea that you embrace this as your identity, right? And it just is an unquestioned thing for many, many years. And then at some point, you come to an understanding that this has all been created in order to keep you distracted, contained under the, well, under the system of slavery, which is a whole lot more sophisticated and a lot more dishonest, actually, than literally holding someone in bondage, and which, you know, there is a version of that in a biblical sense where you hold somebody in bondage for 7 years and then you're supposed to release them if you study that carefully. But either way, this is perpetual. What is it that that one can do to begin to address this problem? And
I mean, you know, I can only tell you the truth, Now, what you do with the truth, with the knowledge, that is the choice. That is why they say in the Bible is all about choice. You choose your God, and therefore you choose your which law you follow. Right? Now, let me ask you a question. Let's say that you and a bunch of friends are sitting around playing a game. Let's just say it's like something like Dungeons and Dragons or something, where you assume a character, you assume a persona. You're a badass magician, and you're walking around dungeons, right? And you're playing this game, right?
Fair enough, you're
in this monstrous game. You've created this entire realm of fiction in your minds, and you're walking. And when you're playing that game, you got your candles lit. You might have your sword in front of you, you know, that you got at some idiot a booth at some gun show or, you know, whatever it is. You're playing the game, you believe it's real in your head. But what happens the second that you stop playing the game? You're no longer there to breathe life into that fictional character.
Mm.
And see, your mistake in your rhetoric that you just espoused is that you are the person. You're not the person. The person is a vessel, a commercial entity that is created at birth. It is not you. You got the live baby, the real baby, and you've got the fictional person. Now, what happens, unfortunately, and this is so important for people to understand, the reason why we believe who we are, that we believe we are the identity instead of our real selves. Think about the word identity. You know, you split it up, and it's two words. It's id and entity. The id, of course, is what, you know, the ego is, of course, what keeps the id. And so if our ego keeps being stroked, we keep believing we are the legal identity, which is the mask, the person, the fictional character. Just like in that game, just like in that chess game, the truth is, okay, I'm a pawn playing chess, and I'm playing by the rules, even though I know that my masters, my politicians, my presidents, my kings, they're considered sovereign in law. They have no law above them. They don't have to play by these rules, but I say, okay, I'll play by the rules that you create, Mr. Sovereign, and I get the shit kicked out of me because I'm just a pawn. You know, I might be a rook or a knight, but I'm still going to get the shit kicked out of me because they are controlling every move I make through their system of law, right? Now, what happens if that pawn suddenly wakes up and said, well, hey, there is no actual law. There's no rule. I could move anywhere I want. I can even move off the board. I could go anywhere in the world if I want. Why am I following these stupid rules that the rule makers don't follow? Mm. Right? Why am I going round and round on the Monopoly board paying tax for every piece of land that I land on that's private land held by the private people? And as a public citizen, since I can't have land, why am I paying taxes to these people for legally getting licensed to intrude on their land as long as I'm extorted by them and pay them taxes? Why am I playing this game? And in the end, the Monopoly pieces all go back to the bank anyway. Right? All the money goes back to the bank because it's never your money in the first place. Why am I playing by these rules? Why? Well, the reason that you're doing that is because that person of it was created. And your parents don't have any knowledge, so you can't blame them. And the second that you could, or the second that they could, they invoked that person to give you, say, health insurance or whatever. And so therefore, all of a sudden you're using that person, even though that person has nothing to do with you, that legal entity, nothing to do with you whatsoever. It's a creation of fiction, has nothing to do with you. As soon as you start using it, then you are confirming and ratifying it as your law, as your own, as a user, basically, in usufruct. So you're now bound by the law because it is assumed that if you are using the person of another or the property of another, that you're going to be bound by the law of persons or the law of that property. Right? That's the assumption. That's the social contract. And so we confirm and ratify the fact that we are using that identity, that status, to get benefits and to pay taxes and to get Social Security and to do all these things. We're using that entity. Even though none of those things belong to us, it's purely a franchise, we have confirmed ourselves to be acting in surety to that person. Therefore, we're responsible for anything, any taxes, anything that is put upon that person. That's what's called agency. That if you don't know the law of agency, you know just about nothing.
Well, but see, you got to utilize those agencies and these constructs, it seems, and this is not an argument, mind you, but I mean, there is the issue of actually attaining food, water, shelter.
Oh, I get it. I get it. Trust me. Now, if you look at your dollar bill, mm-hmm. you'll notice that it says something very important. It says this is legal tender for all things public and private. So you can use the dollar privately, but you have to know how. Right? There is a private people and there is a public people. The public people are United States citizens. The private people are state citizens.
Hmm. See, but here comes a contradiction, Clint, because, you know, to my understanding, Federal Reserve notes are for the use of agents of the Federal Reserve only. Right? Have you ever encountered that part of the discussion?
Well, the problem is your official title is agent for service of process for your name.
So we are agents then.
You are agents.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, mm-hmm. the Federal Reserve, despite what the truth movement says, and I spent so much time trying to explain this to people, Federal Reserve is absolutely part of government. All the stuff you hear about the Federal Reserve, I have disproved, okay? Not because it's my opinion, but through primary source documentation. Right, I've made documentaries about it. I've written about it. I've disproved all the crap about Jekyll Island and all that stuff. It's all crap. It's all...
Well, it makes sense.
It's all lies.
It makes sense because it really kind of throws people into thinking that there's this nefarious, like, group of people that has so much power that... You know we can't really do anything, but as Clint cleared up, I think we did a show maybe last year, middle of last year, that it really is the actual conspiracy is the creation of the United States, and then of course, they don't work separately from government. They are they're all one and the same. It's all, you know, they
it's,
all...
It's just an agency of government. In fact, it's called a private agency. But so is the post office. So is everything else out there. You think Congress has time to monitor the entire stock market? No, it creates an independent agency. You think it has time to deal with all its money? No, it creates an independent agency called the Federal Reserve. You think it has time to mess with Social Security? No, it creates an independent agency. If you go type in independent agencies of government, you'll find all of these, including the Federal Reserve. The word independent is kind of like the word free. It's just a franchise. It means that you're given the power to make rules, but not law. So as a parent, In your own home, you can make the rules of your own home, but you can never go above the law.
Mm.
Right? Yeah. You can make rules. That's great. You can do it. So yes, it's independent, but no, it's not naturally independent. It's not, you can't be independent in that way. It's a big fallacy. You can't be of the United States and also be independent from it. It's just impossible. Nor can Congress create something, which it did create, the Federal Reserve, and then make it not part of government. It's impossible. Every corporation is part of government.
Well, I've also seen this argument that, you know, the concept of the, you know, debt and revolving debt is also a fallacy. The truth is that there is a line of credit, actually, that can be accessed through the corporate person that we're talking about here.
I steer people away from that. I steer people away from anything that gives them hope that there is a legal answer. There is not. Legal is always satanic. Right? The concept of being, what's interesting is, you know, religion has destroyed people from Christianity, or the true teachings of Christ, the true natural law. Religion has destroyed people from understanding what the law is. You've got to understand the Bible is the law. It is not a religion. Religions use the Bible to justify their existence, just like the Masons, the Freemasons, use the three sacred books, the Quran, the Talmud, and the Bible, to justify their existence. Doesn't mean they follow the law, obviously. They just use the book to justify their nonprofit status. Okay, great, wonderful. But when you actually read the Bible and you understand it in the natural capacity, it's the natural law. It is the very epitome. And all the groups that have splintered off, you've got the Trivium, you've got the, the truth movement. Well, where did that come from? Well, the Bible says the truth will set you free. Nobody ever claims or gives credit to the Bible for that, but people quote it. Right? People quote the Bible all the time having no idea they're quoting the natural law. They have no freaking clue because they don't want to attribute anything to the Bible, and yet the Bible is the answer to all of this stuff. Now, again, this is not a religious thing at all. This is actually understanding the law. And the reason I say that is because the state recognizes the Bible as the highest law. If you're following the highest law, and the highest law says respect no persons, which means no corporations whatsoever, no governments, no persons, no flattering titles, doctor, lawyer, no names, surnames, none of this stuff. In other words, you're completely spot free, you're unblemished, you have no legal identity or even anything to do with anything legal, including money, including all of that stuff. Okay, you want to know the answer. You want to know what it is. The truth of the matter is that you have to follow the natural law, which says keep yourself clean from all of this fictional stuff. And I'm not saying that this is easy. I'm not saying that this is something that's attainable for most people. I'm only telling you the truth. The truth is, as the Bible says, you've got to be reborn. Oh, God, no, not that word. Again, the church, the weirdness of religion has turned that word reborn into something completely ridiculous. All that means to be reborn is to go back to where you started. How were you born into this world? You were born into this world completely innocent, without language, without knowledge of anything of the fruit of tree of good and evil, which is just pointless, useless, vain concepts. Right? You have, as a child, you're born completely innocent into this world. You know nothing of any of this crap, this fiction that enslaves us. That's what you have to get back to. This is why monks swear an oath of silence, because they don't want to get trapped in the legal fiction. They don't want to get pulled back into the matrix. Right? So, the truth of the matter is simply that you have to literally go back to where you started. You have to separate yourself from all of this fiction, and you have to go back to being innocent and following the natural law, which means you have a duty to all other men. Now, again, I'm not saying that that is something that's, I'm not sure that we haven't gone too far. We might be able to teach our children if we separate ourselves, like the Bible says. Don't try to live amongst society. Separate yourself from it. Go back to nature. Get out of the cities before they destroy themselves, right? There's one other thing. If you look in the dictionaries, legal dictionaries, there's something called the Baby Act. Now, the Baby Act, or the plea the Baby Act, is a plea of infancy. And this answers your question from earlier. A plea of infancy interposed for the purpose of defeating an action upon a contract. Citizenship is a contract. Made while the person was a minor is vulgarly called pleading the Baby Act. By extension, the term is applied to a plea of statute of limitations. So fraud has no statute of limitations. If I am pleading the baby, or if I'm using the Baby Act, I'm literally saying that, hey, this person, this entity was created without my consent. I was a child that couldn't even speak these words you used. You did this all without my knowledge, without ever telling me what you did, and yet you allowed me to enter into this system of law without this knowledge, without this understanding of the law, and so therefore it's fraud. It's absolutely fraud.
Not to mention the entrapment.
So that's called pleading the baby. And what that really means is the same thing. You're saying, look, excuse me, I was born completely innocent. And then all of a sudden you create this legal entity, this fictional person. You take me away from the scriptures, away from the natural law. You trick my parents into giving up, and my grandparents and the grandparents before them, into giving up their blood right, putting me into your birth registration system, tainting my blood, corrupting my blood is the correct term, and then putting me in this public realm where I cannot own land, I cannot do anything except exist as this frickin' ghost that has no power, no land to stand on because I'm a national citizen, and the only place I really exist is Washington, D.C. I don't exist anywhere else except in this fictional person. I'm allowed to be here to work for you people who are the ones responsible for pirating and for tricking and for extortion, for all the things you've done through this corporation we call the United States. They basically put us into a holding corporation called the United States, and all the public slaves are called public citizens. That's how it works. So when you're pleading the baby, or you're basically saying, look, this all happened before I had any, or had even the capacity, was not at the age of consent or adulthood. And by the way, adulthood means legalized adultery. You a license to be an adult or in adultery. You know, this is where it's at. Now, again, this is just the truth. It is the absolute, undeniable truth. How you get there, how you do it in your mind, how you start walking the steps in the footsteps of Christ. Christ is actually, the way I tell people what Christ actually is, Jesus Christ is it's a fictional character, just like Superman, just like Spider-Man, just like any of the superheroes that you have no problem believing in and worshiping and loving and putting on your walls, right? But when it comes to Jesus Christ, you're like, oh no, he wasn't a real guy, no. But yet he's the one frickin' superhero that you can actually be. Okay, this is not some god to worship externally.
I'm a Punisher guy myself. But,
this is the man who you need to become. You need to become that superhero. You need to become super or above all of this legal crap and walk in the footsteps of this man. The story of Christ is literally the story of the natural law and how to follow. Christ is the example given to you of how to follow the law. Okay, once you get into contracts, once you get into anything else, you've lost your superhero-ness. You've lost your Christ-likeness.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. Now, everything else we talk about, again, if we want to talk about remedy, if we want to talk about all that shit, that's all legal fiction. And the only thing you're ever going to get is money. Money is always debt. It is not real. It has no existence in nature. It takes belief. And as long as we believe in fiction, then we don't believe in reality.
It's a very powerful setup, and I think maybe like one of the ways, and you know, like what we started with what Chuck was saying with the commercials and how they kind of intertwine, and this person that is in Donald Trump's administration is the connection that Chuck you were making earlier, and you asked a question. I said it's all about the corporations, and the corporations are all about commerce. So when you intertwine those, it really is about making money. It doesn't have to make sense. It won't make sense to people that are looking at Trump and believing that he's going to be the savior, which again is another really bad thing. And so we also see in so many different ways that it really truly is about commerce, because, and I'm cautiously optimistic as well with this, is because Trump wants to continue the war, this fake war, this fake war on terror, wants to continue to perpetuate the Islamic terrorism. And then you can actually say that the liberals are correct on that, because they're like, you really can't just blame this group of people for the actions of certain ones, okay? But at the same time, that's how they play the duality of it, is that they create a scenario where they tell you that, you know, 9/11 was Islamic terror. You have one side saying we can't trust any of them, and then the liberal side, which is, you know, the loving and the accepting and the, you know, anything but what people want to be or agree with on the Republican side. So what we get is, it really does make sense that you really can't demonize a group of people. So, but it's that torn. It's the schism. They, everything that they do, they create a schism in the listener's mind, so that they're torn between, yeah, you know, that's not really right. And then, of course, on the Trump side, it's like, we need to, like, vet everybody to make sure that this, make sure that that. And, of course, there's the media that will perpetuate the lies, when I think it was only maybe about 100 people or 100 or so people that were really kind of like, hey, we want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, this aspect of your personhood. Or we want to talk to you about this. So
yeah, but then the counter to that is that the vetting process was in place already. There, it's not as though there was no vetting process whatsoever, which is the representation of the other. See, this is the thing, though. It's good cop, bad cop, and
yeah,
sometimes
exactly.
They switch roles.
Right.
That's all it is, right, Charlie?
Yeah. So good cop, sometimes Republicans, good cop, and sometimes they're bad cops. So people that watch this, they have no ability to be able to discern between the two. All we can tell, I mean, I'm sitting here last night and I'm watching Dave Chappelle on Saturday Night Live sit there, and he said, Obama, he did a good job. And then people clapped. It's like, you have no idea what this man did. The only thing you know is what they told you on this lying television set. You have no idea what he's a part of. And of course,
you know what?
Right.
When I've come to understand, just because I understand the meaning of words now, that all these people who are watching TV, watching the news, all the people who are supporting or hoping that Trump succeeds, you know, what I see is, and the truth of the matter is, again, that it's, let's first admit our defeat, right? I've said
well,
that
we are defeated.
Well, the first thing we have to do is admit our defeat. So what are we? We are a bunch of slaves voluntarily participating in a slave system, called a franchise, a citizenship, and we are hoping that the plantation doesn't fall so that we want to continue to be freaking slaves under this
sure.
system, to be employed, which means to be used, so that we can stay in the plantation. What is a plantation? Plantation is another word for colony.
Mm. Right. I think the way, though, that you know, that we understand that, like, Clint, you obviously understand it, you know, more than most. Obviously, this is, you know, your work is, your life's work really comes down to all this, and it makes complete and total sense. To other people out there, I think maybe the only way that they're going to understand that they're slaves on this plantation is to look at each event that happens. Like, you know, with Chuck in the beginning of the show, where he said, you know, I saw this and then I saw this and it didn't make sense. To be able to look at each one of these events and say, and then at that point, bring your equations into it and say, well, the reason why he's doing that is because we are, you know, like you said in the beginning, this is a crown corporation. This is all about money. The presidency is a, you know, it's a farce. This, you know,
well,
I've
said this before, man. We're entering into the age that we've all dreaded, that we've all read about, that we've all, you know, loved the science fiction, the Isaac Asimov and all that stuff. We've loved the science fiction of it. But now we're entering, I think, into the reality of it, which is that robots are going to start taking most of our jobs, The transition between that point is going to be very painful. There's going to be a lot of unemployed people that don't know what the hell to do with themselves. Until that becomes a normal part of our reality, there's going to be a lot of shit. So you're looking at right now the growing pains of a more robotic or technologically advanced thing.
What I would like. Controllable things.
Sure, and what I would like for someone to do is, I wish that somebody would track, you know, oh, gee, Trump's bringing all these corporations back to America and he's going to create jobs. Well, who are those jobs going to go to? And what is, you know, the fact that you can, let's say I'm a corporation, I'm a car builder or whatever, a machine maker. If I had the opportunity to go from using human capital labor in Indonesia, where I'm paying very little money, if I had the incentive to instead, now we've gone through that phase of the growing pains, now we're to the point where robots are programmable and even have artificial intelligence. If I had the incentive, I would love to be able to come back to America and build factories that are almost completely autonomous, robots building things, and have a right. few employees, and those employees would be there to take care of the robots, basically. That is what I would very much like to have if I was a corporation and I had the chance. And that's what I think we're seeing. That's what we're going into right now, is this isn't just to bring, you know, make America great again. That's a great little joke you got going on there. What does that actually mean? Because, I mean, who are you making it great for? Are you making it great for the people that are the commoners, or are you making it great for the kings, the sovereigns, the people?
Well, yeah, what I find fascinating about all this, especially when we talk about, okay, they're going to return the job, the employment, it's really fascinating to me because, oh, China's been beating our brains out. We're going to bring it back. China is transitioning into this reality of the force multiplier. This is what the problem is. Now you don't need so many people to do the same jobs you did. This is the automation. This is the robotics. This is the semi-artificially intelligent and the artificial intelligence, coming into existence, coming to fruition. So he's going to return jobs. What jobs is he going to return except caretakers for the robotic? Because that's what China is now transitioning into. They have matured, I hold up air quotes when I say that, economically. And when you put all of that into perspective, yes, indeed, what is the real difference going to be here? I think you're right about the growing pains as well, because what happens when you attempt to, quote-unquote, set slaves free? Quite often, they will cry right back for the shackles you just removed. Because that's the only existence they understand.
Look at this. You got medicine before Obamacare, which is toxic, and if you watch Clint's documentary about vaccination online, you'll find out that the medicine prior to Obamacare was toxic and poisonous. And then we're in Obamacare, and then those large groups of those same people say, we want our medicine back. So they want to go from this back to their medicine. Just like you said, they'll clamor for, a system that what they think is gone or they think is going away. But that original system was toxic, poisonous, and pretty much the cause of all disease, if you will. Mm. So, or 99.9%, I make sure, with the legal caveat, I guess, right? Yeah. 99.9%.
I have seen figures that say something like 66% of jobs are going to go robotic. Now, what we've talked about this before, Shelley. I think personally, what happened with me, I had a mental breakdown, man. I was in Hollywood working 12, 14-hour days, sometimes 20-hour days over the weekends. I was dealing with identity theft. I was dealing with this problem, that problem, had health issues. And all of a sudden, my mind just couldn't take it all anymore, and I had a mental breakdown, and I realized how ridiculous everything was. I had perfect credit. I was the perfect little citizen. Suddenly, I realized, holy crap, because my mind broke down. Why? Because I didn't go to some pharmacist, some psychiatrist, and have them prescribe me some drug that will prevent me from having a mental breakdown. So you want to know the answer? The great answer, the great unspoken of answer, is that the entire frickin' nation, the entire people, the common people, need to have a mental breakdown. They need to stop caring. Like for me, I stopped caring about my credit score. I kept caring about debts because I realized they weren't real. Everything's a fiction and is designed to keep me in this slave mentality where I'm working for my Jewish bosses, you know, 12 hours, 14 hours a day. No, I'm not going to do that anymore. Why would I do that in order to create more fiction in Hollywood, right? More propaganda, be part of the problem. Everybody has to go through a crisis of conscience. Everybody has to go through a freaking breakdown. And as horrible as that sounds,
yeah,
it's much more horrible to consider the Brave New World model where everybody's on a drug, which is what we're approaching, so that we don't have a breakdown.
Right. Mm. Well, you've got a lot of people that are so far away from that breakdown because they have enough resources to be, in case in point, the Hollywood stars out there that constantly talk about and chime in with on that liberal side. They don't have any. They're nowhere near a breakdown unless, you know, they're on their fourth marriage and you know, they're like Caitlyn Jenner or Bruce Jenner. But then you've got people. As it trickles down from there, you've got your lawyers and your doctors that are still making money. But I think what's happening is that you've got this area of society, people that are disenfranchised. You've got the Black Lives Matter thing. So you've got half of the country, again, the schism, right? Half the country is, you know, freaking out over things that do not matter. The wage disparity, how people are not being treated equal and all that other stuff. So those people are going to hit this mental breakdown that Clint's talking about much sooner than those on the other side. So what's going to happen is as the, you know, and you saw California, you saw Berkeley and what happened there. That's going to become more and more widespread. And then, of course, eventually the rich elite or the, you know, the doctors and the lawyers and the actors and the actresses, the people that make, at least a million, if not more, they're going to be there's just no way that they're not going to be affected by this because it's just going to be a fucking nightmare because of, you know, what we see. I mean, what Trump is chaos. What Hillary Clinton was just her getting in there and everybody just being like, oh, you know, here we go again.
It's going to be business as usual, right, with her coming in.
With Trump, yeah. The chaos, the what did I see this morning, gentlemen? Newsweek, Hitler's face, the evolution of evil, honest to fucking God. I said this to you. I think I sent it to Clint. They are creating the scenario that Trump is Hitler. And what the fuck did the world do? It's a blueprint that's running again. Wash, rinse, repeat. Mm-hmm. Wash, rinse, repeat. That America is going to become, if not, I mean, I've already read articles where America is hated by, not hated, but, you know, large countries around the world just look at America as an oppressive bully. So now we have an oppressive bully as the CEO. Right?
You can take Hitler's actual history, Germany's actual history, and you could compare what Trump is doing right now to what Hitler did. I will be honest. I mean, we have to say, okay, let's try to give them a little credits in that they're not just, you know, being stupid, right? Right. Let's consider this. If you've ever seen like Naomi Campbell, I think so. She did a presentation on the culture of Germany, how it had transitioned right before the war. That that basically looked a lot like America. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden, you know, gay rights happened, gay marriage happened, the propaganda that was all over the place, porn magazines in view of children. The whole society had basically come undone as far as its Christian structure, its roots, and had become just a debauchery. And Hitler came along and tried to clean that up, which in my view is exactly what Trump is trying to do. One of the greatest complaints from Hitler, if you actually read his speeches, they're not evil at all. They actually make a lot of sense. His complaint was, we are forced to take on these international Jews. This is before the war and the Balfour Declaration and everything, before Israel. We are forced to take on all these Jews. We have now 77 people per square mile in Germany. We have no room to take on any more people. And the people that are yelling loudest for us to take these refugees, these culture, you know, destroyers, are countries that have 10 people per square mile or 20 people per square mile. They're forcing us to take this drag of society into our culture, and it's messing with our culture, just like now we're taking on all these refugees from Muslim countries. It's messing with our culture, and I think that's their intent. And so Hitler comes along, and whether he was a player in their game or whether he was a sincere guy, I honestly don't know. I think he was a bad guy myself that was part of the plan. Just like Trump is exactly what is supposed to, you know, it's their part of the, he's part of the plan. Well, he comes in and he tries to clean up. He starts passing what is called, in our country, it's the law of necessity or the law of the War Powers Act. In Germany and in England, they have the same exact thing. The Constitution is void, and you start passing these executive orders and stuff as long as there's a national emergency. Well, you could compare Hitler to Trump, but you'd have to do it in the truth, which is, here's a guy that's coming in and actually trying to clean up the country by getting rid of all of these new, you know, for God's sake, there was just a law that was passed that said you cannot call a pregnant mother a pregnant mother. You can't use the word mother for someone that's pregnant because it might offend a transgender.
Well, see, now, you touched upon this subject kind of vaguely a few times. I want to get your views. To compare them to the interesting use of information and disinformation that seems to be the prerequisite for any totalitarian regime that comes in, I think is fair. Because of the strangeness of the information, the alternative facts, all this nonsense that's been put out into the public, this is the kind of thing that used to happen through the newspapers and other propaganda operations. Historically, from my understanding, this is exactly the type of thing that happens. But when we've talked about a couple of times and sort of brushed along this concept of gender and that kind of thing, I really want to get your views on this, because I think it's a huge part of the agenda, whether it's, you know, the extremely, you know, flagrantly gay individual who caused the riots at Berkeley, right, or was the alleged cause of the riots at Berkeley, or we talk about the agenda of transgendering and the deception and disillusionment of what to me is really the natural identity. The American culture is in trouble long before we bring in any refugees. I argue that there is no American culture in reality, that there is no unifying sort of umbrella that we're placed under. Now here I might get a little bit of resistance from you, Clint, but I think part of the agenda was also to disconnect us from our gender identities.
Absolutely.
Whether it be chemical or psychologically or through the media, so on and so forth, to bend it so that there is no difference, there is an absence of gender, or there is the combination or commingling of the two concepts, so
another
that it becomes
schism.
So confusing that there is another schism. Exactly.
Another schism.
What do you think of that?
That's exactly what was happening to Germany. The difference, I think, between Germany and now is that they've been injecting us with so many drugs and putting drugs in the water and polluting everything that I think that there are more people are ending up in this victimization. I truly believe it's a chemical imbalance. I really, I mean, it, what else can it be, in fact, in nature, when you consider it from a strictly logical, reasonable point of view? It's a chemical imbalance of the brain. In fact, there's certain doctors out there that claim to be able to actually reverse the chemical imbalance, right? The point is, we are all victims of vaccines. We're all victims of fluoride, of chlorine, of all the chemical weapons that they've been using against us, the BPAs and plastic and all of this stuff that has altered our minds, altered our bodies, altered, I mean, men now have the body shape of women sometimes because the fat, the estrogen content in men has changed and the testosterone in women has changed. I mean, there's something going on that is a direct attack on the physical form, not just the mental. And now you start bringing in the mental game to where, you know, you're right. You're absolutely destroying any foundation of moral right or natural law. I will say this, in my opinion, and I would say this whether I was homosexual or lesbian or transgender or anything else, because I understand what natural law is, what the foundation of law is, no one in their right mind should ever be claiming that. Okay, remember legal rights are adversarial to or satanic to natural rights. They're the opposite. You don't need legal rights as long as you're following the natural law. The only reason you need legal rights is to do something that's against nature. Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? That's why there is gay marriage. It's a right that doesn't exist in nature. So what I'm trying to say is, the only place that you can claim these rights is in fiction. And we are being led into literally a matrix of fiction. We're literally being led into a world where the natural identity, like you said, is being taken away from us. To the point where we can't even talk about it without being accused of being something evil. And this is part of what we were talking about earlier, which is, I think there is coming a battle, and that battle is very biblical. It's very obvious what's happening to me, and that is there is going to be a small minority of people, what you could call true Christians, who are fighting on behalf of nature to preserve the very law and identity, if you will, of what nature is. The never-ending, never-changing nature that cannot be defeated by any of this. This is all temporary. Mm-hmm. There's going to be that group of people against everyone else out there. And that is what the right. Bible, I think, refers to when it refers to the remainder, the people who will stand against the robots, stand against the people that have no concept of what it is to be a man.
John Connor, the John Connors.
Something like that, yeah.
Well, I think here's the other schism. Clint, you're saying that there's a group of people that are true nature, true in the pantheism, you know, and then you've got what we've seen over the years here with apparently the Club of Rome creating the first Green Revolution, where they make it look like they are the pantheists and that they are for saving the planet, and that is the furthest thing from reality from that group. And then we hear it every day from these same people, even from guys like Chris Hedges. You know, I'm listening to Chris Hedges, and he's liberal, and he understands what's going on in the world now to a large extent, but he still believes that global warming is real. When you say that,
you mean man-made global warming.
Right, like man-made global warming, right. We know, I mean, when the UN said that the sun has nothing to do with the Earth's climate, you knew right there that they were lying, bold-faced lying to people, and that they were just hoping that stupid people would say, yeah, the sun's got nothing to do with the Earth's climate.
Well, wait. Right? The sun's got nothing to do with it, but we're putting particles in the air that will block the sun.
Right, exactly. Those same people that are being driven, they said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to start this false green, a movement, this revolution to, you know, for nature and, you know, clean water and all this other stuff. And of course, all these NGOs that push clean water and clean food and all that other stuff. And then the same thing. Now they're spraying the skies. There's a multitude of things that are happening as a result of that, not to mention the soil being damaged. And then, of course, us, it's like a natural sunscreen, which we know regular sunscreen put on the skin blocks this a certain UVA, UVB rays, and that's carcinogenic in nature. So it's a lie. They're a lie. And like what Clint, you're saying is people that truly understand this, that truly understand nature and that nature is God, and they will be fighting against, again, I made the John Connor thing, so that people will reach out, because movies are just a huge part of everybody's existence, this entrainment through entertainment. So that's the only way that they're going to understand this.
Well,
when I went back and said, you know, that when you talk about the, you know, unless we get back to this particular understanding of nature, where, you know, that's the only thing that really matters. And I agree, you have to hit these people that have been completely brainwashed through this schism to say.
Well, the problem you know, is you're talking about, this is a war on religion too.
True.
Because religion is completely against the Bible, every single one of them. Right,
yeah, I was going to say religion is a war on religion at this point. I mean, you know.
So, and just to be clear, you know, the solution is not to go join some church. The solution is to read the Bible. I suggest reading my book so that you can read the Bible, because I went through all the growing pains of being able to read the Bible with its original words so that you can understand what the hell it's trying to tell you. Mm-hmm. And that's not religion. You know, again, the war is against the church and state, not in support of it. And that's not really, that's not on par with what the Patriot Movement preaches. And I gotta tell you, man, I'm starting to become like the anti-truth movement, the anti-Patriot Movement, because it's just full of lies. It's full of foundational lies.
Yeah.
That's the problem. If the foundation of your argument is flawed, then every other argument you make is going to be flawed.
No, and I agree with you. You know what? I'm finding myself in that very similar position where, you know, if your assertions are salacious to begin with, where are you going with this? You know, I'm quite satisfied to recognize the main thrust of what you've said here as absolutely clear and decisive, which is this, that the only state of being in which you are, you know, maybe it is not law, the only state of being in which you could be lawful in a real sense is to be in a legal state of anarchy. Because this is not, none of these things which are legal, again using that word, are lawful. And this is abeyance to the gods or God or whatever it is you want to call it that actually has codified the laws for us in a very decisive way. And I think they're represented in the order in nature quite definitively. And this is one of those things that I get myself in trouble for all the time. But do you object to me saying that, Clint?
What's that?
What I just said.
as far as anarchy?
Yeah, that anarchy is literally the only lawful way in which one can exist. That the abandonment of all of these games and constructs and fictions and everything else, this is the only way to. Sort of bring equilibrium to one's own natural existence. Doesn't that seem about right?
I don't agree with that as far as the modern version of anarchy. And actually, we did kind of a show on the progression of anarchy, where it started out.
Well, by anarchy, I simply mean it by its root meaning, which is to be without that leadership.
That's not the meaning of anarchy. That's the modern sort of trickery that's being played. But anarchy means no law. That's why I don't say anarchy is the solution, because the law is the solution. The natural law is the solution. When you say anarchy, you're really saying lawlessness. That's how it's actually, you know, go to any dictionary, go to anywhere you look, it's going to say the same thing, lawlessness.
Well, that's why I attached anarchy to the legal construct. Anarchy to that, but to be lawfully under natural law
is completely different. That's the trick, and that's what people don't understand, is that the only way to be against the legal law is to be under the natural law. You will have a god. The god is either going to be the state and the church, or it's going to be the god of existence and nature. That is the choice. And that choice is made by the law that you follow. You don't get to choose whether you're an anarchist by title or a Christian by title. Those are flattering titles. Those mean nothing. Those are not respected by nature. They don't exist. Your actions under the law that you follow defines who and what you are. Period. End of story. So when you say anarchy towards the, I just don't like the word period because it means lawlessness, and it's used by Satanists, literally Satanists, like Mark Passio, like people like what's his name, all these people who use their fake names and I don't know who they actually are. They're the ones that are using this. The millionaire guy that's somehow an anarchist, right? The anarchist. How can you possibly be an owner of a corporation doing all this business and also be an anarchist? See, I'm not an anarchist if I'm following the law. And these guys, in order to do and be what they are, to be citizens, have driver's license, you know, you'll never, a true anarchist would have none of that, and a true Christian would also have none of that. The difference is that the Christian has a law, the anarchist has no law. If in a system of complete and absolute degradation of society and government, if I come up to two men, and one man introduces himself as an anarchist, and one man introduces himself as a Christian who follows the natural law and believes in that duty that's attached to that, who am I going to do business with? Who am I going to trade with? Who am I going to trust? I'm not going to trust the anarchist because the anarchist has no law.
Right. Well, no, the Christian at least has a system by which you can recognize how they're going to conduct business. You have a fair chance to understand it based on that descriptor, but it's not necessarily the right descriptor either, is it?
Right. So the problem is that there was a romantic period in France and in other countries where this anarchist notion came to be, and I think it influenced a lot of the United States stuff. But that's not the same anarchy as there is today. Today, anarchy has turned into basically a pointless, without goal or purpose. Because once you read a state of anarchy, then what? You're either going to have to become a king or a bully to keep lawlessness, or someone else is going to do it, right? You're going to have to become exactly that which you don't want to be in order to keep a state of anarchy. Once you reach anarchy, there's nothing left. There's no goal. There's nothing. You can't keep that state. It's going to eventually come back into a society, a government. And either you become that government to keep your ideals or you don't. So it's really a fallacy to consider that anarchy can be a state of being other than a very short time period before some tyrant or some aristocrat takes over, right? It's a fallacy. It's a logical fallacy that you can have a state of anarchy. It's never going to happen. It's never happened in the world, right? Even the most tribal of peoples, the most aboriginal of people, have this natural law system under them. And they may appear to be whatever. They may even do human sacrifices, but it's part of the law, right? The tyranny of the law or the aristocracy of the law. Either way, there's always, it's just, you can't have anarchy. It's just not, humankind is not capable of that.
No, I understand this perfectly. I'm just saying that when it comes to not being in abeyance to this fictional system,
right.
You know, in that sense, you could say that you're in a state of anarchy if you're not participating in it.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean that you're absolutely unlawful, because as you stated, you know, even with the natural law, you still have your prerequisite concept that you are still needing to take care of your fellow man. I forget exactly how you put that, but I mean, you have a responsibility to your fellow man still. This is not a system without law. This is not a concept without law. It is a concept without the legal system, though. And that legal system is, as you aptly described, you know, you could describe part of it as the cult of Saturn. You could describe part of it as the satanic descriptor, or the adversarial system, which they even use that term themselves, the adversarial procedure, the adversarial process, right?
Yes.
So, you know, that's the truth of it. That's what I meant by it. I probably didn't clarify.
Oh, no, but see, here's the ultimate, you know, this is the beautiful thing about the Bible, is that it gives you, it lays out what it is that keeps you, the foundation of law, that once you break the foundational law, then you're subject to contract, then you're subject to names and titles and numbers and all that. But if you're always following the foundational concepts, which means no fiction whatsoever, well, then you, the important part to realize is that you would never, as a true follower of Christ, as in a true follower of the law of God, of the natural law, you would never call yourself a Christian. Christian is not in the Bible. Christ never said, hey, come be a Christian.
Mm.
Okay, that's a flattering title. If I'm wearing a flattering title, chances are I'm not actually following the law. I'm a Christian, which means I'm a member of a church. That means nothing. The Romans called themselves Christians. They were pagans, right? They were polytheists. Right. There's nothing Christian about that. It's a flattering legal title. That's why you have to stay away from all legal titles or flattering titles. That includes anarchist. Why would I call myself an anarchist unless I'm not one? If I'm an anarchist, I'm committing the actions. I'm following the law of anarchy, which is lawlessness. If I'm a, you know, I'm not supposed to recognize even the flattering titles of wealthy or poor. I'm supposed to be charitable to all men, even my enemies. I'm supposed to live in love at all times. And I'm not a pacifist. I will always protect the earth and protect what sustains me if you're messing with me, right? It's not, I mean, I envision a monastery full of ninjas. That if you come mess with us, you know, we're gonna kick the shit out of you.
So like, kind of like a Vatican assassin, but only the
but not like under it. The Pope. Yeah,
not under the Popey.
Yeah,
the Vicar of Christ.
That guy.
Well, how can it be that the Bible that really truly says do not, you know, respect flattering titles, blah, 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 that we have all of this, and there's next to no one out there saying, I mean, obviously they're saying that the Pope and the Vatican are full of shit because of, you know, the child sexual abuse and all that other stuff, but they're not pointing out that, like what Clint's pointing out, you are all fraudulent pieces of garbage, you're fictional creations, you don't really exist. The Bible says you shouldn't exist, but yet you hold that thing up and just in a mockery, in an absolute mockery.
Well, what I see is the constant use of the two letters A and N, right, together, A-N. And every time I see A-N, it just reminds me of anti, which, you know, a Christian is basically an anti-Christ or an anti-Christian. Okay, it's interesting to me. A politician is someone who's really not for policy. You know, it just seems to be the reoccurring theme. These titles are there to be the deception in and of themselves. you know, everyone who adopts one, and I've been trying to work on this even personally to relieve myself of title. It's one of those things that is not an easy process, though, Clint.
I will say one thing. There's one thing you have to know above all else. This system is based entirely on money. A nation is known by its currency, right? Mm-hmm. So that means that every law on the books has in some way to do with money. the trick, and of course the Bible's very much against money, because money means that you put a value on things that doesn't exist in nature, where in nature everything's priceless. You should treat it as priceless, that it's everything in nature, from the ugliest, meanest-looking spider to the most beautiful flower, is a gift of God. It's priceless. You treat it all as such. You treat it as precious and life, and that's it, period. But instead, we monetize things so that man can be a slave. Man can't be a slave if there's no monetary value, right? Mm. So all these titles that you're talking about, they're all, you know, my birth certificate, for instance, and your birth certificate are printed on banknotes. My birth certificate says Midwest Banknote Company, right? It's right there on the side. You can look at yours and you can see it's printed on a banknote. Your person is a commercial, it's a value in a commercial system. That is not a value that you can find at the end of the rainbow, because as we know, the rainbow has no end. You're going to be chasing it your whole life, and you're never going to find the pot of gold. Okay, because you're going, again, away from God's word, God's law, the foundation of natural law, and you're seeking money, you're seeking fiction, which is always debt and nothing else, instead of nature and reality. You're seeking value instead of valuelessness, right? And that's the trick. So every law, every title has a monetary value. That's why you should have no titles. Wealthy, poor, it doesn't matter what it is, common, special, general, people, all these things are flattering titles that mean absolutely nothing. The truth is, there are no people. There is no people. People is a plural. It's an explanation. It's a corporation. Just like every person is a corporation. There is no people. It's a lie. If anybody was the people, then the people would not be able to sue one of the people. Mm. Right? It's a clever trick. Just like I say, there is no sovereignty but in the people. But hey, guess what? You're not a people, because a people is plural. Everything is a freaking lie. Mm. And you have to get over these flattering titles, because only if I worship the people as God can I consider myself sovereign through the people, which is the government, which holds the allodial title, which gives me a grant of patent. But I can never be higher than the state. State is sovereign, not me. So the whole thing is a lie. Mm. The whole thing is a lie.
And it just keeps going.
Yeah, it's a puzzle that just never, you just keep picking apart the pieces, yeah. keep looking at each word as it really stands in the legal system, and it's just amazing.
Self-perpetuating lie. It just continues. And again,
the Matrix.
I go back to walking through the grocery store this morning, seeing that Newsweek, seeing Hitler's face, and then the evolution of evil. Apparently, evil is still evolving, and Newsweek's got their finger on the pulse. Assholes, right? So what I fear, you know, if you will, is that the system is kind of setting us up to do the exact same thing, saying that, you know, Trump's just going to go from vetting them to slaughtering them. And it's all, you know, it's all lies. And really, truly, these news outlets, as I said to, Chuck, that we should go find out who's at the very top of these organizations, be it CNN, be it ABC, NBC, find out who allows this information to be put out, and let's not blame the talking heads. Let's go to the head of the fucking snake and find out who these fuckers are and say, why are you perpetuating this kind of, you know, it's you
that's
perpetuating.
But you know the answer. You know the answer. Know. The answer is because it's legal.
Right. Mm. It's legal, but then we can just say, hey, look who it is. It's,
It's legal.
But it's legal.
It's legal. What are you going to do about that? How can you possibly fight that kind of mentality, that argument? It's legal.
But at least somebody can, like, punch whoever that asshole is, and I think we know who it is, right in the taint, right in the baby maker.
I couldn't agree more. I tell you, this is going to come down to a point where violence will ensue. There will be violence.
That's what they need. Order out of chaos.
The question is, see, the only question that you got to ask yourself is have you guys ever been to Deagle.com and seen the statistics there?
Is that Bill Deagle?
No, it's D-E-A-G-E-L.com. And if you go to the United States of America, it gives you the current population and everything. And,
oh, right. I think I've heard this. Yeah.
And then the forecast for 2025.
There it is.
His population 61 million.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes into the GDP and everything. But they're forecasting a drop from 321 million to 61 million by 2025, and that looks like it's going to happen real soon. That's their forecast. They don't change it. You know, people have called. Drew sent this to me, reminded me of this, and I'm like, wow. So there it is. There's the violence. Now,
Paul Joseph Watson pointed that out a while ago. I remember him talking about this.
There's only one question that you have to ask yourself. All right, are you the type that is hoarding gold and storable food and all that stuff? Because the only thing you can do with your gold, the only realistic thing you can do with your gold and the intention is to buy yourself into the next system where you become another slave.
Right.
That's what they did in the Bible. They put all their gold together, they built a golden calf, and then when the new system came in place, the Jubilee and all that, they offered their golden calf and they got a higher status in society. That's the only thing you can do with your gold. Your gold is there to hedge against when the currency changes to an international system or a cashless system. Your gold is going to do you no good except to buy you back into the legal system. The question is, are you willing to separate yourself when the time comes? And you'll know when it comes because you're going to be asked to take the mark. You're going to be cashless. You're not going to be able to buy and sell without taking some type of sign, number, mark, chip, whatever it is. The chip's already being put in your card, in your phone. You're able to do everything digitally now. You're practically already marked like a beast, all right? So you're going to have to make a choice at some point to separate yourself from technology. And technology is defined as art, which, of course, means artificial. You're going to have to separate yourself from the very tool that is going to put you into this structure. Now, that, I think, will be a large part of the population that might just survive. I might be wrong. We might be hunted down like animals. But I would much rather be hunted down like an animal and be free from all of this shit than be a part of this slave mentality. That's just me. That's the Christian notion, if you will. The true Christian notion.
Mm. Right. That's just about the end of the time we have, too, shall
we? We got about 2 minutes and so and such. It's not quite 11:57 yet. Mm. So you guys, Clint, you know, Chuck was wanted to kind of, you know, get you onto his platform. You know, Chuck's got a million questions. I'm sure he's got so many that he wasn't able to get them all to you today. But you guys set something up, obviously, so that you can hang out over there on his platform as well. Obviously it's insane out there. Trump is he's just still out there like, I got, you know, all these votes and stuff, and he's still kind of putting it out there. It's just like, hey, you won. You got it. Just stop, stop being, a petulant child and try to move forward. But chaos is what's on the menu. And then, of course, extra chaos and then extra chaos if you want extra cheese. That's what we're dealing with here. But, want to thank you guys for being Clint. I'm glad that you're feeling better. And
remember, never put your faith in men.
Right. Perfect. That's right. So, Clint, you're getting closer. We got about a minute, Clint. You're getting closer to getting the book in physical form or getting your work in physical form.
I'm saying end of March because I have to get back in line for printing and stuff since I was sick. Cool. So.
Again, strawmanstory.info. For you can download the book, in digital form. Chuck, you're at Ocelli.com?
Yeah, O-C-H-E-L-L-I.com. That's the home base for what it is I do. Really appreciate you inviting me in here this morning, Charlie, and almost the afternoon now where we're sitting. But appreciate
okay.
it. Thank you.
Here's the deal. Ron cannot. Oh, shit. Stay on the line. Chuck, just go in there and disconnect from UCY.
Okay.
220 rounds a minute, try to stop them. Don't put that on your wish list. That's retarded babble. Protesters make the hit list soon as they start to rabble. They are nothing but fishes in the barrel. It doesn't have to be Christmas for a carol. Some decorate with ornamental decorum. Some perform shock and awe on Hanukkah and Purim. That's where my job come in. I am a blessing to the mercenary. For the corporation selling weapons.